You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Monday, 13 July. I'm Simon Brown coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Nkunzi Sanlam, Private Wealth. I want to touch paper stocks, Sappy, Mondi, and then war and oil. I want to say, I mean, oil's only up 4%, and I can't believe the word is only there, but we'll have some thoughts there. Harris Gore from Growthpoint Investment Management. Private credit market, are they seeing the Jamie Dimon cockroaches that he was worried about earlier in the year? And then chatting with Just Money on stock falls, how they work, how to make them work, what are some red flags to look out for. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb, special situation creates scope for good returns, increase in economic and geopolitical uncertainty, more corporations restructuring, takeovers and delistings. Business Day, Montasha warns economy will lose R1 billion a day if SA runs out of fuel, and he's proposed pivot from voluntary to mandatory private sector fuel reserves. Morning markets, US was green on Friday, S&P up 0.4%, NASDAQ 0.33% higher. Over in the east, it is mostly red. Sydney's down 0.5%. Tokyo, a little over 1% down. Hong Kong, just in the red, down 0.1%. And Tencent up 0.1%. Commodities, mostly red. Gold futures, 4,066. Brent, of course, is the green, 79.15. Platinum, 1,603. Palladium, 1,249. The Rand is 16.40. Bitcoin, 62,700. And top 40 opening call, red open, 740 points down, 0.75%.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Nkunzi Sanlam, Private Wealth. Nick, appreciate the early morning time. Doing my sort of weekend wrap of what had gone through, Sappy jumped up, giant week for it. It had a really big announcement on Thursday, the Somerset Mill, in the US. And then I zoomed out on the chart, and it was a horror story. Mondi, similar. Both getting crushed. I appreciate Sunset Industries. I mean, what's your thinking here? Is there opportunity? Is it best left to Sunset quietly?
Oh, morning, Simon. First of all, let's frame it. Both in the paper industry, but yeah. I think slightly different businesses. I mean, if you look at what Sappi's did, that announcement you said on Thursday, you know, up 15%, you would have felt better. But as you said, looking as a shareholder out over a couple of years, it really doesn't make a dent. I mean, put them in perspective, it did actually hit a record low on Thursday morning before closing at a three-week high. Mm-hmm. But, that turnaround strategy, I think, starting to take a little bit of shape. Mondi's in a very different space, I think. You know, they've got the corrugated paper business, yeah. 45% is packaging. They are leaning more towards the e-commerce industry, which I think is the better place to play. Whereas Sappi, I mean, they've got $413 million they lost in just the last quarter. They've got quite a big hole there. It's going to be very, very difficult to plug. So, yeah, I appreciate what you said. Sunset industry for both of them. But I think Mondi's in a slightly better story, not just the turnaround.
Yeah, but it has, and these charts are absolutely, I mean, they are horror charts. It is tough being there, although I appreciate the difference between it. Let's change tack. And I mean, most Monday mornings I wake up and there's been some renewed, war, banter, threat, something in the Middle East. Oil is responding. I mean, it's up today, and I want to say it's only up 4%. It's up about, $10 almost off the lows of a couple of weeks ago. How are you responding to it? Because the market, I mean, it's almost like the Iran story is becoming, I don't want to say secondary, but the responses perhaps are less dire.
Yeah, I heard someone use the expression a bit of like war fatigue, and I think that's kind of how the market's feeling. It's like, back again. I mean, you know, Mr. Trump yesterday saying the Straits of Hormuz is open to all commercial traffic, and then of course our answer is no, it isn't. So it's tricky. Look, I mean, if you look at the sort of a headline sort of prices, right? So, you know, oil exactly where we're currently trading up 4%. You know, 70 West Texas 75. Looking at my screens now, almost just under 80 with Brent. Yeah. that kind of seems like where we should be, 80 to 85. I think it's going to take a while to get, I mean, just a reminder to the listeners, I mean, 120 ships per day went through the Straits of Hormuz. At its best, the last few weeks, we're getting about 30, I think, on the one day, or 40. So way, way below. So there's a lot of catch up to be done. So you expect to be a little bit deficit. But, I think it's just important to sort of zoom out a little bit, look at the bigger picture. The market seems to have been quite resilient with the oil prices where they are. And the earnings season kicks off this week, Simon. Yep, so yep. Maybe it's time to put the war fatigue behind us a bit and concentrate on U.S. earnings. Might give us a little bit more direction. Can't ignore it, but I think around about the sort of $80, it's the market can live with that at the moment.
Yeah, I get your point on that. And, of course, earnings season kicking off tomorrow, Bank of America, JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs, Citi, Wells Fargo. And frankly, we expect good numbers from them, I imagine.
Oh, great numbers. I mean, just think, I mean, if you've been advising on some of these blockbuster IPOs, have a little look down at those fees those banks are going to be earning. So the earnings season is very high. Just a reminder, EPS, 23 to 24% EPS growth. That is the highest we've seen in about 5 years. So the bar is high, everyone. And let's, you know, so as you said, Simon, the big bangs kick off tomorrow, so that'll certainly set the tone.
Yeah, I take that. The bar is very, very high. Volatile markets, big IPOs. We'll wait and see. Nkunza, Sanlam Private Wealth, appreciate the early morning time. Let your money benefit from experience with StanLib Asset Management. Find out about StanLib Global Select Fund, which follows an investment discipline that has delivered results for 3 decades.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Chatting with Harris Gore from Growthpoint Investment Management. He is our private credit expert in many senses. Harris, appreciate the time. I want to stress test an idea to you. I look out the window and everyone seems worried. Jamie Dimon is talking about cockroaches and unemployment. But then I see markets at highs and I don't see the crisis that we are allegedly going through. And I appreciate there are wars and all sorts happening. What are you seeing in the private credit market?
Simon, thanks again for having us on the show. I think you are 100% on the money. The headlines continue to be very noisy around private credit. Mm. We had a session with Ares, who are probably the largest direct lender in the US, saying much the same thing, that the headlines are dislocated, for lack of a better word, from what's happening on the ground. So we are seeing some non-accruals tick up in the private credit space, but you have to put this into context. Non-accruals have been running at around kind of 50 to 60% of long-term historic averages at, say, 1.5% or 1 to 1.5% of cost. And those are ticking up to closer to kind of a 2, 2.5, 3% level, which is closer to historic averages. So we are seeing a tick up in call it companies not servicing their interest. Mm-hmm. But these are idiosyncratic, large exposures in some vehicles. I think the focus at the moment is on diversification. It's not being overexposed to a single sector. But the noise in the market is significantly kind of overblown compared to what we're seeing on the ground in terms of results, in terms of earnings, in terms of earnings growth, in terms of revenue growth, and in terms of the U.S. economy, as you pointed out, and public equity valuations and public credit valuations and where public credit is holding up.
And much of this, the private credit space, particularly where you're operating, where your AMC is operating, is sort of the middle market, you know, the space. And I was doing some digging about maybe 2 weeks ago in that particular space. This is often, I don't want to say mom and pop, but smaller businesses, owner-run businesses, businesses that have been going for, in some cases, decades, if not generations. And all the surveys I'm looking at are cautiously bullish, cautiously optimistic, expecting revenue growth, expecting profit growth in the year ahead.
Yeah, Simon, when you say mom and pop, obviously mom and pop in the US covers a wide array of sizable companies. But what we're seeing in say our portfolio, where the average earnings are around 130, it was actually $136 million of EBITDA a year. So these are kind of large $2 billion plus market cap companies if they were listed. That part of the market is very bullish. As you said, they're increasing borrowing, but they're not increasing borrowing because they're under distress. They're increasing borrowing because they want to invest and grow and they're engaging in M&A. So the underlying kind of sentiment amongst management, owners, sponsors in that core middle market space is actually significantly more positive than it was a year ago. And you got to cast your mind back. A year ago, we were in the middle of a tariff war and everyone expected these companies to be underwater because of tariffs. And we've seen year-on-year growth, as I said, in earnings and revenue. And we've seen an overwhelming kind of positive sentiment creep into the US consumer, which wasn't there a year ago following Liberation Day.
I think we all forget that Liberation Day, which, I mean, 2nd of April, we thought the world was ending. Turned out not this time either. Does this mean for opportunity? Because then if the sense is sort of doom and gloom, have we been seeing some selling pressure? And I know your strategy is to wait when you can buy these funds, you know, cents on the dollar rather than at premium on the dollar. Has this then been creating opportunity and positioned the fund at a discount to NAV?
Absolutely, Simon. So this, what we tend to do is be patient. We're on the sidelines. Yeah. We carried a lot of cash for the few years leading up to 25, leading up to Liberation Day. We deployed aggressively into Liberation Day and we're around 100% invested again. I think 98, 99% invested in our vehicles that are trading at a 20 to 25 cent discount on the dollar. So you got to think about the same assets being available in your evergreen and your quarterly lockup funds where they're marked at NAV.
Yeah.
And what we're seeing in that market is we're actually seeing institutional flows come into that market. So more institutional flows coming into that private credit, lockup fund, illiquid, quarterly liquidity vehicles versus a listed market where you're effectively buying economically the same assets at a 10, 15, 20% discount. So there's certainly opportunity there. One of those markets is incorrect. So either your private market's wrong or your listed market's wrong. And the truth is probably somewhere in between. But therefore, there's effectively an arbitrage in the market to take advantage of.
Yeah, it usually is that gray in the middle. The last question, we've got potentially, and I put the potentially in big inverted commas, rate hikes coming from the FOMC. And I don't know how this impacts, because in the one sense, if your sort of base rate is going up, does that push rates to companies up? The other side, of course, is that investors can go and get yields elsewhere. What is an increase in rates from the FOMC potentially due to a private credit market?
So part of the story recently has actually been on the back of the decrease in SOFR, which is why some of these listed vehicles have sold off, because dividends have come down as your risk-free rate has come down. Now, these are floating rate portfolios, they're underlying floating rate loans. So as we see rates stabilize or call it higher for longer rates, that's generally a tailwind for your private credit market because they're floating rate loans. The other tailwind behind that is generally rates are staying high because the consumer is stronger than expected and inflation is stickier than expected, which is all positive for the economy overall. So generally, we see rates being higher for longer as a positive tailwind, and we've seen that in the past. And more recently, we have seen part of the sell-off being driven by rates coming down and the expectation that rates will come down even further, which looks like, as you said, it'll probably not be the case going forward.
We'll leave it to that. Score Grove Point Investment Management, appreciate the time.
The Standard Flexible Income Fund is designed for pre- and post-retirement income and capital preservation needs. Retire without regret with Stanlib Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
I'm chatting with Sarah Nicholson, Head of Customer Experience at Just Money. Sarah, I always appreciate the time. Stock folds, we intuitively, we know what they are. They're sort of savings groupings, and we get a sense that there's a lot of them. Do we have any sort of data which tells us how many stock folds, members, how much money is involved?
You are spot on. So stock folds, I mean, they operate on the principle of a collective benefit, and members do contribute regularly. So they definitely are not on the fringes of society. There's about 800,000 of these community-based deposit-taking clubs that are nationwide. Wow. Yeah, and they have assets about 50 million that exist, and there's more than 11 million South Africans that actually take part in at least one Stokvel. So there's some big numbers there.
That is giant. I mean, I knew it was big, but you said 50 million, million or billion? Because I imagine
50 billion. You're spot on. 50 billion.
That is giant. And they come in different flavors. I was once on a birthday one. So if it was your birthday month, you got paid. Their holidays, their savings, they can almost fit for any sort of unique fit for purpose.
Absolutely. That's what's so great about them. I mean, it's important if this is something that you're looking to do, you've actually got to be quite clear on what you want because you can get a Stokvel that's there for school fees, uniforms, an emergency fund, funeral plans, unexpected costs. So there's a lot of different options available there. And it's actually fairly easy to start one yourself as well. And a number of banks actually offer you the capability to do that. And there are various platforms that do that as well. So it is a great way in which to save money. And it is, as we can see with those numbers, it is definitely something that one can explore, especially considering the savings culture that we have in South Africa and the fact that people struggle to save.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to come to processes, bank accounts and the like. Before we do, I mean, imagine not all are created equal. What separates a good from a less good? What are perhaps red flags if you're looking to join rather than perhaps set one up that listeners should worry about?
I'm so glad you asked. There's a number of things that you need to be aware of. One is, first, if this is something you're looking at, just be super clear on what you need it for, because there's so many options out there. So one of the things you'll see with Stokvels, a lot of them are established through friends, family, community networks. And there can be things like family and societal pressure to force you into something like this. If it does not meet your goals and you cannot afford it, avoid it, don't do it. So that's one, avoid the social pressure. Two, you want to double check for good governance. So a well-run Stokvel, it should have some form of constitution or rules that you can access. There needs to be defined leadership. And you need to know that there is a chairperson, a treasurer, and there must be proper record keeping. You need to be able to see what is happening with your money, and you want to see regular reporting. And then watch out for scams. So we've spoken about scams before. I think it is very, very important to understand anything that is promising more than seems possible is usually a scam. So if there's unusually high returns or there's a lot of pressure to join and they're unwilling to answer any questions or provide you with the rules and engagement requirements, then it is something to watch out for.
I was on a birthday one once, and so we had 12 people, each with a different birthday month. And all that happened is in your birthday, everyone gave you their money. So there wasn't even a return per se. It was just, you know, it was 100 rand out every month and then your birthday, 1200 in. I like the idea about bank accounts. Back in the day, and we're going way back in the day, I don't know, probably 20 years ago, it was probably quite difficult. But as I understand, you mentioned banks are coming to the party. You even mentioned sort of platforms and apps that are helping with this whole process.
They are. So what's quite interesting is that there is 7.3 million South African adults remain unbanked.
Oh, wow.
So what that means is that a lot of the banks are actually competing for that market. And because Stokvels are quite popular, they then offer that as a service that you can take. And I've seen it with Standard Bank, Absa, and FNB. And they offer you a decent interest rate that you can access. You can create one through them. What's great is you obviously get additional banking features like zero monthly fees. You'll get really good competitive rates. You also get the benefit of built-in security requiring multiple signatories for payouts. So the security of this and the side benefits of this are great if it is an institution that you trust. Of course, there is the realization that about half of that 7 million actually don't necessarily trust the banks, and they save cash. So yeah, it is, again, it's up to you. You make a decision based on that.
Yeah, the cash part slightly spooks me, but I take your point. There are some people who aren't in the formal banking system and absolutely don't want to be in it. The other point of it as well, we're talking around here very much as sort of more of a cash savings type of process. I imagine if people wanted to get more advanced, they could almost do it as an investment sort of process / Stokvel as well, buying some ETFs or something every month.
Yes, definitely. There are actually a couple of Stokvels that are based on investment and actually helping you with that. So, yeah, you've got to look what is available. Do some research. There are quite a few that are available within South Africa, and you can certainly find something that meets your needs at a rate that you can actually afford. And it is a good way to use the collective of the community and additional funds to get more from what you are putting in.
Yeah, and it's that pooling of the knowledge. And if folks are saying, how do you find them? Ask your friends, ask around at work, ask your family at your place of worship. You probably find dozens of them that you weren't aware were happening. We'll leave it there. Sarah Nickerson, Head of Customer Experience, Just Money. Appreciate the time.
And that's our poll today on LinkedIn. Do you belong to a Stockful? Have you signed up for one? Are you interested in one? Perhaps not for you at all, but have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn. That's it for today. I was chatting with Skulk Lowe on Friday. He, of course, PSG Old Oak. We're talking Remgro. It's a company he's long liked. They've concluded the Mediclinic transaction. They're still at deep discount to net asset value. We asked you if it was an attractive investment given that discount. Almost 40% said potentially. You are watching. A third said, yes, love me a discount. The rest were saying, no, the returns are poor. Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website in the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobukle, Nicole, Sabu, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. How happy are South Africans with their insurance and investment firms?
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.